Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. So as Derek rightly said, this is the time of the last week of Y. We have seen in previous weeks how our identity in Christ, in God, as children of the Father, as heirs of the kingdom. Last week, Father spoke strongly about each one of us as part of the family, as part of the church. And now we are going to speak about you and me and what is our mission in life. If any of you have seen the Mission Impossible movies, you know that the lead character sent a message saying your mission if you choose to accept it. And yes, my dear brothers and sisters, the mission that Christ has given, we have the choice to say yes or no. We are always given a choice. But as you and I know better, it is always better to say yes to God's will in our lives. Now, many of you may have seen a hoarding in the church or outside the church. Some of us have this hoard. We have seen this in the past where it says, what's missing? You are missing. You and I are essential to make up the church. And you may say to me, but I attend mass regularly, I'm a regular church goer, if not a daily church goer. But is it really more about physical presence, or should something happen when we leave the church? At the end of every Eucharist, the priest says, go back to your sinful ways, or go and continue fighting with your spouse, in-laws, neighbors, etc. Or go and spread gossip and slander, or go to war with everyone you meet. Is that how the Eucharist ends? No, my dear brothers and sisters. The priest tells us to go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Go to love and serve the Lord by your life. And what would be better than just you and me being part of the church is having our brothers and sisters who do not know Jesus being part of the church. The more, the merrier, right? Next, in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, we all know these verses very well. It tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you all. Ways to the end of the age. The key words in this passage are go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. The word go. At the start of his ministry, Jesus invited his disciples to come follow him, to follow him. He spent a lot of time teaching them, being with them, performing miracles, showing them how to work, and how he goes about his daily routine. And at the end, now at the time of his resurrection, after his resurrection, he is now wanting to send them out. If he had asked them to go as soon as he called them into ministry, they would not know what to do. They would have been lost. They would have been ill prepared. But he taught them, he spent time with them, and now he's sending them out. The word go implies action, movement. Sometimes you and I become so comfortable with where we are that we don't go anywhere. These last 2 years, yes, we've been restricted, but now some people are so comfortable at home, they don't want to go out at all. But you and I, my dear brothers and sisters, are called to go and make disciples. What are we doing about it? The next thing we see is Christ tells us to, what do we go and do? We have to make disciples. Now, you and I need to be disciples before we can make others disciples, isn't it? If I want to be a maths teacher, I should have at least a good enough working knowledge of maths. I need not have a PhD or a double PhD or whatever in maths, or be a Shakuntala Devi to be able to teach, but at least I should know much more than the person I am going to teach, isn't it? Now, there is the word for disciple, one thing we need to be is dependable. D for dependable. We have to be trustworthy and reliable. Not say yes, yes to everything and then do nothing, right? The second thing, I, be imitators of Jesus. Imitators of Jesus in every way. Every day, we should be more and more like Jesus. It's not about comparing ourselves with somebody else. Somebody else may be far closer to the Lord than you and I. But for each one of us, I should, at the end of the day, say, yes, Lord, today I was more like you, or sorry, Lord, I was less like you. But we should work to be imitators of Jesus. Next thing, S, we need to be spirit-led. To be foolish to do anything in our own wisdom and strength, we will flat fall on our faces. So we have to be spirit-led. The next thing is committed. We need to work diligently for the Lord. Not work one day and then the rest of the week we go to sleep. No, we have to be committed to the Lord in every way. The next thing, I, inspirational. Now, when you and I, if we see somebody who is filled with joy, who's praising the Lord, even though we know that person is going through a very difficult situation, doesn't that inspire you and me? Yes, it does, my dear brothers and sisters. And you and I have to be inspiring to others. Our words, our deeds should inspire others to know Jesus. And that is what happened if we read the Acts of the Apostles. People were seeing that the Christians were being persecuted. They were facing such difficult situations. And yet they were praising the Lord. They were in jail. They were beaten up. You know the stories. And yet they were praising the Lord. And because of that, many were converted to Christianity. The next thing we need to be is prayerful. The P is for prayerful. Our relationship with God is the most important thing in our lives. God cannot take second place to anybody or anything. Without it, you and I will be useless, powerless. We also need to be principled. You see, today's politicians, one day they speak against a particular ideology, and the next day they're joining that same party that is promoting that ideology. You and I have seen it, but we have got to be principled. We cannot be carried away by the world and what the world is teaching us. What the Lord has taught us is what should go in our lives. For example, we know that abortion is murder. Just because people want to do it or say, you know, women's rights, we have rights over our body, we cannot be carried away by these things. The next thing, L, we need to be loving. We've had an entire teaching on love, and so I'm not going to go further into that. We also need to lead others to Jesus. Like Mary, we have to point the way to Jesus. It is never to be about ourselves. We are not preaching or teaching or leading or doing anything to draw attention to ourselves. It always has to draw attention to Jesus, to God. And E is for ever ready. We have the batteries, right? Ever ready battery. And for you and me, we should be even more so ready to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. Even if it makes things inconvenient, it takes us out of our comfort zone, it puts us in difficult situations, we should still be ever ready to serve the Lord. Now, who do we have to make disciples? The Lord has mentioned it in the teaching itself. All nations, beginning with our own. Now, as for the 2011 census, okay, we haven't had a census in 2021, obviously because of the pandemic. But as you know, we Christians are only 2.3% of the country. And when did Christianity come to India? With St. Thomas, right in the very first century. Islam came into India only in the early 7th century, almost 700 years later, and yet they are 14.2% of the population. So you see the task ahead of us. Indeed, the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. You and I are called to be part of this process of making disciples. Now, not all of us may be called to travel across the country, across the world to make disciples. When we think of missions, we always think of, you know, going out into tribal areas, going out into villages, you know, in remote areas. But for many of us, our mission may not extend beyond our families, our community, our neighborhood, and an office. There are many people, my dear brothers and sisters, who may be Catholic in name, they've been baptized, but they're not really disciples. And you and I have to work hard to make them so, not only to reach out to people of other faith, which is also important, of course, but to also reach out to people who are lost among our own brothers and sisters. And besides this not being extended beyond our immediate surroundings, with social media, we can, of course, reach a much wider audience. I know there are many people who share beautiful testimonies, beautiful teachings every day on Facebook, rather than sharing silly jokes or, you know, unnecessary things on WhatsApp and on Facebook. They put up lovely teachings, and it's so inspiring to read them every day. Perhaps you and I can do more of that to reach more people. Now, how do we make disciples of people? Now, sometimes many of us don't even know where to start. And as always, the best place to start it is with prayer. Pray every morning, ask God in your prayer time to give you an opportunity to share the good news and the wisdom to say the right thing. It's not just about share what you say, but it's how you say it also that is important. So we need wisdom, we need discernment when sharing the good news. When God gives us the opportunity, we can start by giving a testimony, sharing what a wonderful thing God has done in our lives, some miracle he has worked, some situation where we thought we would never get out of, and God has done wonders in our lives. We can maybe share a gospel story. People love to hear stories, and maybe share a gospel story with the person. Don't begin by telling them what you believe in is all nonsense. You should not believe this. You should not believe that. No. Start by sharing what is good about Jesus, that he came and he died for each person on earth, not just for Christians. If the person is facing a problem or going through a difficult situation, maybe you can offer to pray with them. Now, I know many of us say, I'll pray for you. Good. You know, pray for the person, pray for the situation. But what can also touch a person and bring them closer to Jesus is when we pray with them. If it is a person of another faith, perhaps you know, if they've never heard of Jesus, maybe you can say, you know, Father God, I lift up to you this person, you know, and the situation and whatever it is, and continue from there. You never know how that can change a person's life. Also, you can even give them, if they're interested, you know, give them a Bible, a prayer card, a little prayer book. You never know how you can make that little gesture can make a difference in the person's life. I'll give you my dad's testimony. When my dad was in Muscat, there was this person, he was an Egyptian, but he was a Christian, not a Catholic. And he was living alone in Muscat. His wife and daughter were in Egypt. And one day he invited my dad over for dinner. So my dad went to his house. And when he went there, he saw all these posters of, you know, these Playboy and whatever centerfolds in the house. And my dad was very shocked. You know, he didn't know, and so uncomfortable. As soon as possible, he ran out of there. But what he did was, I don't know whether the next day or a few days later, he gave him the booklet of Mother of Perpetual Supper. You know, the novena booklet he had with him. He gave it to this person. And sometime later, he was again invited to his house. And at first, he was reluctant, but he felt maybe he could influence him, you know, to change his life. And when he went to this person's house, he was shocked. There was not a single poster or picture anywhere in the house. But the the booklet of Our Lady of Perpetual Succor, the novena booklet, had prime place in this person's living room, you know, in the hall. And even when we went there, we were invited for dinner. His wife and daughter had come from Egypt. And we went then, we had a dinner with them. And it was only later that my dad told my mom about what had happened. How just giving that booklet of Mother of Perpetual Succor, you know, removed all those bad things from this person's life. We never know how even a small thing can change someone. And also keep praying for the person. If God has led you to witness to somebody, keep praying for the person, keep sharing, even if the person is not receptive at first. Don't give up too easily. There are several reasons why you and I may not be able or not think it possible for us to share the good news. Some of us may think, I'm not a Bible expert, so, you know, how can I share the gospel? Now, you and I don't have to be Bible experts. Even I may be teaching, but I am not a Bible expert, not by a long shot. And if we wait till we are Bible experts, we may wait forever and do nothing. You and I have been long enough in the church, attending mass, hearing the stories, to begin sharing the good news with others. As long as it is in keeping with the teachings of the Catholic Church, we do not interpret it in our own ways. Second, some of us are afraid that we might lose friends or be disliked or mocked by others. We are paralyzed by fear of rejection, and that keeps us from sharing the good news. And 2 Timothy 1:7, we've covered this before. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Some think that they're not up to the mark in their spiritual lives. We're not holy enough to share the good news. My dear brothers and sisters, no one is holy. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But our lack of holiness or should not be an excuse, but a reminder that we need to clean up our lives. We need to go into repentance. Let us not make that an excuse for not sharing the good news with others. Some may wrongly assume that God will eventually allow everybody into heaven, you know. At the end of their lives, all will, get into heaven. But that's not true, my dear brothers and sisters. For we know that Jesus is the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven. And Dr. Charles Stanley said, if there existed another way into heaven, God did the most wicked thing to send his son to die for us on the cross. If there was any other way to get us to heaven, then God did the worst thing possible by sending his son. But there is no other way, my dear brothers and sisters. It is only through Jesus. And some people don't care for lost souls. There's indifference, you know. Chalta hai attitude. I'm going, but who cares about the others, right? It's all about, as Father said last week, it's all about I, me, myself. No, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to find that urgency in our hearts to save others. We are not, rich people giving donations. We are poor people, hungry people, telling other hungry people where to find bread, the bread of life. And a person by the name of Tim Keller said, apathy is a bigger problem than atheism for Christianity. We're very apathetic, especially the Catholic Church. You see the other denominations, they're all out for saving souls. Now, we may not agree with their methods or how they go about doing things, but they are very keen about saving lost souls. And we need to find that keenness in our hearts. And some may think evangelism is optional. I go to church, I'm leading a good life, I'm not as bad as the next person. But no, my dear brothers and sisters, today we have the Great Commission. It is not a great suggestion. I will repeat that, my dear brothers and sisters. Jesus gave us a Great Commission. He did not give us a great suggestion. It is not really optional for us to evangelize. The next thing he told us to do was baptize. Now, the sacrament of baptism is called the door to the church. Because it is the first sacrament, not only in time, since most of us are baptized as infants, but also as priority, because we can only receive the other sacraments once we have been baptized. And once a person is baptized, he becomes a member of the church. Now, I didn't know this, but traditionally, the rite of baptism was held outside the doors of the main part of the church to signify the fact, and then the child would be, or the person would be, taken into the church. Next, why is it necessary to baptize? Because Christ himself ordered it. In his encounter with Nicodemus in John 3 verses 1 to 21, he said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Now, the sacrament is not just a formality, it is the very mark of a Christian. Now, who can baptize? Anyone can perform a baptism, but it is typically done only in extreme cases when someone's life is in danger. So basically, in the Catholic Church, we have the ordinary ministers, that is the priests, the bishops, and even the Pope, and sometimes, and the deacons as well. They have the authority to baptize a person. They don't need anybody's permission to perform this sacrament. But apart from that, you and I can even a non-baptized person can baptize somebody, but of course that is done only in extreme cases where the person is about to die. You and I can baptize somebody. All it requires to do is what the church does, that is, use the formula and use water. We have to use water is essential. There is a form and there is a matter. Now, the matter is water. So we baptize with water, and we need to use the formula saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." If any other words are used, then the baptism is not valid. What are the effects of the sacrament of baptism? You and I know that it forgives sins that may have been committed, including original sin, mortal sins, venial sins, and the punishment for those sins. It makes the new baptized person a new creature. We are born again in Christ. Third, it turns the person into a newly adopted son of God and a member of the church. Baptism incorporates a person into the church, which is the body of Christ. It brings someone into the flock of the faithful and brings them to share in the royal priesthood of Christ. Catholic baptism gives us a share in the common priesthood of all believers and also brings about the sacramental bond of unity of Christians. And lastly, baptism leaves an indelible mark of belonging to Christ on the soul. Nothing we can do can erase this. And we know that if a person is baptized, even if they're baptized into another, you cannot be rebaptized. If you are baptized even in a Protestant church, but the formula used is the same and their beliefs are the same, then the Catholic Church even accepts that baptism. You cannot be rebaptized. The last thing he does, he tells us to teach. Now, what are we to teach people? Jesus himself tells us to obey everything that I have commanded you. Obedience, my dear brothers and sisters, is key. Through the Old Testament, we are taught, obey and prosper, disobey and perish. And what is God? The basic commandments you know. In Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, he said, what are the two commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything flows from this. So while we teach people the words of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, how the various parables and teach that he taught them how to pray, and we can teach others how to pray. But these are the two commandments through which everything else flows. And Matthew ends with these most wonderful words. And remember, he emphasizes it because we are not to ever forget that I am with you always to the end of the age. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is blessed assurance that God never leaves us nor abandons us. Even if we mess up, even if we falter, even if we fail, even if we go astray, He still loves us. He is still Emmanuel. He is always with us. And you and I need to use these opportunities that we get, my dear brothers and sisters. The Lord is giving us time to bring more people to the faith, to tell them about Jesus. Let us not waste these opportunities and let us fulfill our mission, because God makes it possible. Amen. Let's just close our eyes.